There we are. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but it sounds like the Washington Commanders were willing to give up a bounty of picks to the Chicago Bears to get up for the number one overall selection, which of course would have been Caleb Williams, but Ryan Poles firmly committed with going with Caleb Williams, which is the right decision to me. And again, and I wrote this, and by the way, this evening we're going to be talking mostly about the mock draft that I just released on NFL.com. But, and I wrote this in the thing, it's like Caleb Williams is the only person that this makes sense for. If this had been any other draft pick, if the Bears had been sitting at number five, I doubt that they would have moved up to number one. They might have tried. But at the same time, you know, when an opportunity like this presents itself, it means you're going to go for Caleb Williams. So it's nice to know that other teams are looking at the other quarterbacks. I think that's one of the takeaways that you should have with that whole report, that the Commanders are willing to move so much capital. I know a lot of it's like a hometown guy, player like that. But at the same time, if Jaden Daniels or Drake May or one of those guys is that close, you don't make that move. But you know, this very much reminds me of the time when the Commanders took RG3 and Andrew Luck was the top pick, I should say. I feel like it's very much the same, whether it's like it's a definitive number one, number two is far, far and away. And Ryan Poles is smart enough to be like, you know what? We're good. I know that could have fetched us a lot of draft capital, but at the same time, we're ready to restart with Caleb Williams. And speaking about starting, Sammy, let's go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's gonna be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? It is time for Take It to the Rank, a little bit earlier than usual. So I apologize to everybody who are like, wait a minute. Is it already 7 o'clock Eastern? Is it already 6 o'clock Central? No, no, no. The thing is, I have soccer practice this evening. I wanted my boy to make sure that he got some work in. We have inclement weather moving into Southern California. My son, I'll tell you this right now, I will not spend a lot of time talking about this, but I will say the boy's getting good. The boy is getting good. So I wanted to make sure we've had spring break and we've had some other things. So I wanted to make sure he had an opportunity to go out there and continue to work on his skills, which is why we're early, which means you'll have extra time to go out there and watch AEW Dynamite. The Tape Never Lies Network, of course, will be on in about 2.5 hours now. So you have a little bit more time to go out and relax, do whatever you're going to do. Want to sit here and talk about my mock draft with a twist. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody that we will be at the Game Room Chicago. Yes, draft night, NFL draft party on April 25th or 26th, whatever the Thursday is. Whenever we're about to draft Caleb Williams, we'll be sitting there, me and my guy, Tyler Scott. By the way, Tyler Scott, just so he knows, I already got his jersey. So Tyler Scott, if you saw the news, he's switched to number 10. I don't know how much you know what? And we joked about this. I told him, I said, you know what? You can sit here and charge money to Caleb Williams or Keenan Allen. You're probably better off we'll switch. And I don't know if you saw the story about Kyle Pitts. Oh my God. They told Kyle Pitts that, and he wanted to give up number 8 to Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is like, no, don't worry about it, dude. I'll be number 18. And Kyle Pitts is like, no. I wanted to switch back to probably like 84 or something like that, which is what he wore at Florida. And he's like, no, I'll switch it. Like, not even a monetary thing, which is probably the smart thing to do. Again, when you want red zone targets, you're like, no, just take the jersey, dude. It's totally cool. The NFL told Kyle Pitts that he had to buy every single Kyle Pitts jersey that was out there. And Kirk Cousins was like, you know, I would have been involved in that transaction as well. Like, I wouldn't have made him purchase everything. 6 figures to each play. And they're both like, forget it. So Kirk Cousins will be number 18. Kyle Pitts will continue to wear number 8. But, and my guy Tyler Scott, number 10. And this is a brand new jersey. Ignore the 100 year patch of the NFL. Clearly, I'm getting so much use out of this. I remember when we made the move for Chase Claypool. I put this on. And I have no, like, I'm not running from it. I was excited when Chase Claypool was traded, so I was wearing it. But again, I think Tyler Scott is now going to break the streak. There was somebody else in there. Who am I missing? Sammy, somebody will probably mention it. And when they do, remind me who it is, because I'm just spacing on who is number 10. Because there was somebody after Chase Claypool who recently was just wearing number 10. But hopefully Tyler Scott, I'm not hopefully, he will. He will be the guy who breaks that streak. So we're excited for him. We're excited to be there at Game Room Chicago. It's completely free. All you need to do is show up. We're going to hang out. We're going to do a show similar to this. We're going to hang out and have some fun. I'll tell some stories. We'll talk about the draft picks. Now, number one is going to be Caleb Williams, as we know. And I do want to remind everybody, or just let everybody know, that I released my latest story on NFL.com. It's a mock draft with a twist. And whenever you read anything, like when you read Daniel Jeremiah, Chad Ryder, DJ, Daniel Jeremiah and DJ, both of them, Bucky Brooks, Lance Zierlein, all those guys, Cynthia Freeland, when they do their mock drafts, I think a lot of people, what they try to do is understand, try to figure out, like Peter Schrager does a really good job of this, of like predicting where players are going to go. I don't do that. I'm not as connected to the agent world as a lot of these guys. So I'm not even going to try to fathom of what teams are thinking. But what I love to do is kind of tell teams what to do. I like to be the consultant, like one of the Bobs from Office Space or something like that. Like it's easy. Like that is my ultimate goal is to eventually be at a point where I'm just a consultant and I go into WWE or AEW or ESPN, whomever, and just give people ideas. Just be like, you know what you guys should do? You should have a character that, like, I always wanted this for like John Cena. Like, hey, like he should lose a match to where like you rank wrestlers. And when John Cena loses, he has to fall back down to like number 100 and has to fight his way back up. So you would have like 99 matches of John Cena trying to get back to number one to fight. At that time, it would have been Roman Reigns. But in any event, this is what I like to do with these NFL teams is tell them what to do. Now, obviously with the Chicago Bears at number one, it's very easy. It's Caleb Williams. I'm not going to make any bones about that. And I've said this on the NFL Total Access. I've said this on NFL Fantasy Live. I've said this everywhere, that if the Bears are not taking Caleb Williams, and as I said on the top, there are reports that Washington was pretty hot and heavy to try to get that pick from the Bears. So it's obvious it's going to be Caleb Williams. So there's not going to be much debate here. But at the same time, I would quit. This show would be the sick podcast with that, and we'd change these colors to blue and yellow. Or it'd be red. It would be red for Arsenal. We'd either change this to an Angels podcast or an Arsenal podcast or something else, because we would stop talking about the Chicago Bears if it's anybody else other than Caleb Williams. If they trade out of it, maybe. But like when people are like, maybe they'll take Jaden. They're never taking Jaden Daniels. You're not going to trade Justin Fields for smaller Justin Fields. I don't care about resetting the quarterback clock that much. There is no way that is going to happen. So it's going to be Caleb Williams. And in this piece, and again, I implore you to go check it out. It's NFL.com/rank. You can go read it after the show, telling teams what to do. I told the Commanders to trade their pick. I know they're going to take a quarterback, but at the same time, I don't believe the Commanders are a quarterback away from being competitive. I don't think the New England Patriots are a quarterback away from being competitive. I would trade out of both of those spots. Either one of those teams. If you could get the Minnesota Vikings to commit their first round picks this season, you got to make that move. Or, you know, even if I don't know how you can't let Minnesota jump up that much without getting both of those picks and probably an additional first round. It's got to be 3 first round picks. You got to make that. If I'm the Commanders or the New England Patriots, I make that move. I don't hesitate about that at all. I make that move and I move down and I build the team, because next season, there'll be a Jaden Daniels. There'll be a Drake May. There'll be a JJ McCarthy. There'll be a, who am I forgetting? Michael Fenix, like whatever. There will be a guy out there who could be the quarterback of your future. And I would just go out there and do it. And I would make that move and I would make it happen. And it would be, that's what I would do. I would try to build a team. The Chicago Bears are in a position right now where they've built a team. Like, if you think about where the Bears are right now, the Bears are sitting there and they're providing their quarterback, Caleb Williams, with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, the number 9 overall selection, which we'll talk about in a moment. And by the way, fire in your questions, because we're going to do, with no guests today, I would love to take more questions. Eric, if there's any comments that you want to float out there, Sammy, too, we can address as well. Like, don't worry about interrupting me. But if I'm the Commanders or the Patriots, I kind of try to follow what the Bears did. I know that, again, like I was talking about the tech, because like you're kind of following what the Texans did last year. And I know people have told me plenty of times, like, hey, the Texans aren't doing anything new. Everybody wants to build around a rookie quarterback, which I get. I absolutely get. But you think about what they did last year, getting Will Anderson, this season getting Joe Mixon, getting Stephon Diggs, and signing. We forget that they signed Danielle Hunter. Like, we don't talk about that enough. Like, they went out there and they stocked this team. And the Bears are doing something very similar. And, you know, you could say San Francisco's done this. Detroit's done this. Seattle a long time ago has done this. Okay, fine. That's fair. That's a fair comment. If I'm one of those teams like Washington or New England, I would prefer to have that team stacked and go out there. And you kind of think about it this way. Would you rather be in a situation of like, would you rather be the Texans last year or the Bears this year or the Panthers last year? Like, who's in a better spot? You know, the Bears took a risk because they did have Justin Fields, but they took a risk that, you know what, we're really going to build for the future. And if Justin doesn't work out, then we can go out there and we could go out there and get a quarterback. Perhaps didn't expect it to be Caleb Williams, but you thought like perhaps you could go in there and make a deal for Caleb Williams if you needed to. Didn't need to. I think that's the proper way to build a team. And I think that Washington would be better off doing that. I think New England would be better off doing it. And of course, anybody who watches football, who knows ball, will be like, well, then why didn't Washington keep Sam Howell? Which to me, like, yeah, I would have never gotten rid of that guy. I would not have gotten, I don't know. I don't remember what the compensation was from Seattle, I believe it is. I don't know what the compensation is, but I wouldn't have made that deal till after the draft. And as a matter of fact, I would have kept holding on to Sam Howell, because then you could have put yourself in a position to move down. You know, Washington's probably not going to move down. I mean, I still think that they should. And I still think that even if you want to draft a quarterback this season, like even if Washington, and I know we're spending a lot of time talking about other teams, but, you know, we love ball. Like, everybody loves football, right? That's interesting, I hope. If you're Washington, like, what if you ended up with Bo Nix? What if you ended up with 3 first-round picks and Bo Nix? Like, isn't that better than Jaden Daniels? I don't know. That's what I would have done. So that's what my mock draft with a twist is just an opportunity to go through these thinking exercises, which I want to do right now. So let's pertain this to the Bears. Now, the Bears are sitting there. So I will be honest, and I think I alluded to this if you saw the show with Cynthia Freeland over the weekend. I alluded to the fact that I sort of set it up to where, like, hey, this is what these teams should do. And then, oh, Roma Dunze is there at 9, which is a great pipe dream. And I know I tweeted out something today, which I'll get to in a moment. Like, yeah, if Roma Dunze is available at 9, like, I think that's pretty automatic. And again, this is something we can talk about. And I would love to get your input on this. Talk about a number of different things. So the Bears are in that spot, though, where they can maneuver around. I know that they would love to acquire more picks, but I think we're past the point of pick acquisition. And now we should be in asset acquisition. Kind of like Houston last year. Houston was not trading down, trying to build up and get more picks. They were making moves to get all these studs. And so for the Bears, Caleb Williams is number 1. Let's go over this scenario. If the Bears, if as believed, some people talked about this, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't, but for instance, there have been people who have speculated that 4 quarterbacks could be the first 4 picks of the draft, where we're talking about Caleb Williams being number 1, obviously, but Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May. Some combination of those 3 guys coming afterwards, which would mean, of course, the Minnesota Vikings would trade into one of those spots. Denver could possibly trade into New England spot. You know, there's a couple of teams that could trade. The Raiders. You know, there's a report today that Mark Davis will allow his football people the freedom to go after one of the quarterbacks available, which again, you know, it's a pretty far drop for Washington to go all the way down to, what is it, 15? That's a pretty big drop. But at the same time, if you get first round picks for the next 3 years, the Raiders' first round picks for the next 3 years, and you still have a decent chance of getting, again, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, I'm making that deal all day. I don't even hesitate making that deal. So for this exercise, and we're assuming, even if the Cardinals don't move out and three quarterbacks go right off the top, and let's say that the Arizona Cardinals, for whatever reason, decide Malik Nabers is their number one guy, Rome Odunze, whomever. Probably not one of the linemen. They're probably going to go with the wide receiver. If Marvin Harrison is available to be drafted at number 5, and there was a report, and I don't know how accurate this is, the Chargers would be willing to go from 5 to 9 just for a second round pick, which you're like, okay, I'll make that deal right now. But at the same time, I don't make that deal unless it's Marvin Harrison Jr. And I would roll the dice. And especially if Malik Nabers is still on the board and the three wide receivers are still on the board, I could see waiting. But at the same time, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is available at number 5, I would make that move. Let me know right now. Log into the comments. Leave it. Just let me know. Is it because to me, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the Caleb Williams of the wide receivers. I feel like he's so superior to both of those guys that he's the only one that I move up to number 5. Maybe even go like, listen, what would the Cardinals be willing to give up? Will the Cardinals make a similar deal? Okay. If you move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm all aboard that. And I don't believe it's the same thing. In getting a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. is not an admission that your two guys are not number one wide receivers, which again, forgive me if we talked about it last week with Cynthia Freeland. If there's a question about that too, I'd be happy to dive into that where the absurdity of like, do the Bears have a number one wide receiver? I'm out here trying to make the case that DJ Moore's a top 5 receiver in the NFL. And Darren Carr. Who is the guy? And I said Darren, not Derek or David. Who was it? It's some back of Brock Heward. Who was it? Who was the guy who was like, I guess, are these guys number? They're obviously number ones. And we could go into that in any of it. But okay, so here's my thing. If you're at number, if the Bears have a chance at number 5 to get Marvin Harrison Jr., I make the deal. If you want to wait around for Rome Odunze and roll the dice, that's fine too. If Rome Odunze is not there, and I should have tweeted this better, but at the same time, if you're sitting at 9 and all three receivers are gone, even if Rome Odunze is there, I could honestly see moving back a couple of picks because I love Brian Thomas Jr. Matt Harmon and I talked about this a week ago. Brian Thomas Jr. in any other class might end up being the number one receiver of this whole thing. And to me, it's one of those situations where he's being undervalued, that if you could move back to like 13 or 14 or somewhere like there, I'd feel very comfortable moving back and getting that pick and going in that direction. But we do have some questions. So I want to give an opportunity to fan, because you guys have been so great over the last couple of years to, really appreciate it. And I know that over the last couple of years and months, I should say, we have not been taking as many questions. Let's change that right now. All right, Sammy, how about the first question? Let's bring it in. David, how far down in the first would you be willing to trade number 9 without requiring a first next year too? You know what? Like, Yeah. If you, again, just talking about moving down to 13, if you're, you would, we don't know what Ryan Poles' draft board looks like. He might favor, I think it was Jake who sent this in today. There's a lot of people who really love Brock Bowers. And I don't think that you have to be out on Cole Kmet to like Brock Bowers. But if the Bears are really in favor of getting Brian Thomas Jr., Brock Bowers, even one of the linemen, and you wanted to move down to 13, I don't like the idea of moving too far outside of the field. I think the Raiders are the last possible spot. But if the Raiders or anybody else, if they're moving up for a quarterback, like for instance, if it's the Raiders moving up for a quarterback, and we know they're moving up for a quarterback, let's say that, because I did this in my mock draft with a twist, because I had JJ, because like I only used the two quarterbacks for Chicago and Washington, because I feel like those are the two teams that are probably going quarterback. And the only reason, and again, I don't agree with Washington's decision, I just know they're going to do it. It's like having a child that you're like, don't you dare. Don't you, like, my daughter runs around with my phone. I'm like, don't go on YouTube. She's going on YouTube. Like, there's nothing I can say that's going to stop her. So at the same time, like, that's Washington. Like, hey, don't take a court. Don't do it. Don't, you don't need, okay, fine. They're taking a quarterback. I could see both JJ McCarthy and Drake May being available at number 9. And if all three of those wide receivers are gone, if Dallas Turner's gone, maybe even Jared Verse is gone, Joe Alt's gone, I now look at the Raiders and I'm like, okay, you want to move up for a quarterback? We're in. But because they would be jumping the Vikings and the Broncos, that's going to cost them a first round pick. It just does. So I don't think that you move too far down. I guess 13 would probably be like my limit right there. What is that? 13's the Broncos. That's about my limit. I would love to do the thing where you move down to 10 again, because that's what I suggested that in my mock draft of the twist, where if, what did we get? We got a fourth round pick last year, moving down a spot. Like, if you're committed to taking Brian Thomas Jr. or whomever, and you know the Jets aren't taking him, and the Jets are moving up to take Brock Bowers, then I would be like, okay, let's pick up a fourth rounder, maybe a third rounder this year. But if it's somebody moving up for a quarterback, ooh, now we're talking about some pretty high stakes. Now we're talking about some first round picks being added to the mix, especially if it's the Raiders. The Raiders are going to have to give up a first round pick. So I guess that's my limit, 15. And sorry about that. Gosh, my nose. Every time I sit here, my nose, it just must be the dust or something. In any event, if they go super far down, I've seen people suggest the Buffalo Bills moving up. And what would that be? 20? What is Buffalo? 27? 20 something? That's, I don't know. That's got to cost a number of first rounders. That's a huge leap. If you're going to let Buffalo jump up all that way, I don't think it would happen. But if they did get into the 20s, I would see them going with JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson. I still think a center is the way to go. I know a lot of people have suggested rebuilding the offensive line. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. You would have to believe that Braxton Jones, like I feel the Bears' evaluation of Braxton Jones is very different than a lot of people. You're not moving Darnell Wright. Perhaps in the guards, I mean, who is the guy from Duke? Graham Barfield. There were players. I think the Bears could go offensive line, but I think that, I don't know. That's too much. And again, one of the philosophies too is that if the Bears are as good as we think they're going to be, if this is a 10-win team, if you look at this squad and you're like, that's a 10-win team, when's the next time they're going to be drafting in the top 10? Like, it might be quite a long time before this team is drafting in the top 10. So you might as well take advantage of it and bring in two top 10 guys. Like, that's the thing too. It's like, it's great to have all these B+ players. We get a couple of bona fide studs. I think that's great. All right, Sammy, how about another? Wait, hold on. What did he say? Graham Barton. There it is. Would you move next year's first for Marvin Harrison? Yeah, Scott. The first. Now we're getting a little rich. Now the report, which again, I can't imagine the Chargers would be willing to just move for a second to move down four spots. I don't know the Jimmy Johnson draft point chart. I mean, you got to think about, I almost do it. I mean, again, like we would have to go in there and this was the problem with the Chase Claypool decision. You know, when the Bears traded for Chase Claypool, what was the record? Had three wins already. Thought the team was going to be competitive. The team was competitive, but thought the team was going to compete. You're like, well, worst case scenario, this is, you know, pick 46 instead of 32. You're like, okay, or 33, what it should have been. That's what you're doing. Like you're doing the Chase Claypool deal over again. We are kind of like, well, our first round pick next year is going to be 25. So you're essentially trading 25 next year for Marvin Harrison. That's the hope. Because the worst is like we gave up the second pick of the draft. Like the worst would be sitting there similar to the Carolina Panthers, where you're like, oh crap. Like, what if we bottomed out? We went like 2-15 next year. And you're like, oh, cool. We could have had a first round pick. I mean, it won't matter because we have Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams would never be like, it's just so far fetched to think that this team is going to be bad. Like, they could lose a lot of close games. But I would say that the absolute floor is 7 wins, which again could put us as a picking 9th overall. And it would be tough to wear to be like, yeah, we're giving up the 9th overall pick for a wide receiver when we had Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. The first is a tough one. It's a tough one. I think I do it. I think we go full Rams. F them picks. Yeah, let's do it. First round pick. Don't tell the Chargers that. Try to get them to take the second round pick. That's good. All right, Sammy, what do we got? Antonio Esparza, what's your thoughts on Braxton Jones? I think he's not good enough to be protecting Caleb's blind side draft. Well, at that point, you'd be looking hopefully at Joe Alt. Because a lot of guys in this draft are right tackles. You know, and it's a right tackle dominated draft, which is why I hesitate to really look at anybody. If Joe Alt isn't there, then you're kind of, who is the next left tackle? Because again, putting together my mock draft, I'm like, God, all these guys are right tackles. Even to the point when you look at the Chargers, you know, Rashawn Slater is their left tackle, who's pretty good. He was an all pro once. And you're like, all right, well, they probably wouldn't, like, would they go with the right tackle? Fashanu or somebody like that? Like, yeah, they would go with the right tackle there and have him. You know, because who is Wally Pipp or whomever played right tackle for the Chargers last year? The Giants actually have a decent talent at left tackle too, because who is it? Jones. So they got Jones there, who was an all-pro in 2022, but battled through hamstring injuries last year. So I'm not sure that's a great. So they might not go Joe Alt. I don't know. So for me, it's got to be a left tackle. Joe Alt's the only one who's going to be there. Like, he's the only one that it could be. I still believe in Braxton Jones. And I still think that it's Ryan Poles' guy, but he's improving. Like, you do. It's interesting because you think of the leeway that he's given Braxton Jones. They must either see something. They must really love him because, obviously, with our guys, Bayless Jones, who we love, and we love Tyler Scott, the Bears aren't hesitating to add wide receivers. I mean, those are two guys that Ryan Poles went out there and drafted and had a lot of faith in. put in decent draft capital. I think Bayless is a fifth round pick, but still. So we love those guys, but Ryan Poles is still like, it's okay. We're still adding talent above them and around them and doing everything else. So offensive tackle is not out of the realm of possibility. And to be perfectly honest with you, this is one of those situations where we're trying to debate what's the best Beastie Boys song of all time. And everybody has a different opinion. Somebody might come up and be like, you know what? My favorite Beastie Boys song of all time is Shake Your Rump, which I'd be like, that's a great tune. I really love it. Is it in my top five? Actually, it might be. So you're kind of splitting hairs. Like, yeah, like I agree with everything. I agree with trading up for Marvin Harrison. I agree with staying at 9. I agree at trading down at a point. I agree with taking a wide receiver. I agree with taking an edge rusher. I agree with taking a lineman. Yes, all of it's good. It's the all you can eat frozen yogurt stand. Like, it's all good. Choose what you like. Personally, I'm going to go with the acai. But if you want to have Reese's peanut butter cup, be my guest. I don't think that there's a wrong answer in this one. What it comes down to is Ryan Poles making the right selection and picking the right guy. And as long as his RAS score is through the roof, you know he's going to draft him, especially if he gets him in the fifth round. Oh, I saw that meme today. I wish I should have shown that to Sammy. Could have used that tonight. But in any event, is there another question there, though, sir? Pressure on Flus in 2024. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you stopping by. I would say absolutely. There is pressure on Matt Eberflus to show improvement this season, to show that he is the right coach for the Chicago Bears. Now, we went through last year, and Matt Eberflus was able to, and I know that he's probably got a history with Ryan Poles. I think they share the same agent. You see him palling around a lot, so I think he's got a little bit of grace there. But they were able to kind of sell it like, hey, Luke Getsy wasn't the right offensive coordinator. Justin Fields wasn't the right quarterback. We get that squared away. We should be good. So I truly believe that he is in a position right now where you got to go out there and win some games. We can't, this year it was fine to say, hey, this was a 7-win team that lost 3 games where they had a 90% chance of winning in the fourth quarter, which meant they should have been a 10-win team, which means they should have been in the playoffs. But, you know, if circumstances would have been different, Justin Fields holds on to the ball here. Maybe, who's the tight end who dropped that ball? I just wanted that the Packer, Bobby, well, what the hell? Jeez Louise, what is wrong with me? I got soccer on the mind. I'm in full-fledged soccer season. Bob Tonyan. Yeah, you look at all these things, you're like, if these things would have happened. Now it's up to Eberflus to go out there and win these games. We can't have these conversations about moral victories or anything like that. It's time to put together concrete wins. And if this team wins, I would say that playoffs should be an attainable goal. But I could also be down, like, if they win 10 games, but the NFC is wild and like 10 wins doesn't get you into the playoffs somehow, which I don't know if that's mathematically possible. It probably could be. Where 9 wins, you know, if he's above 500, like he's coming back, regardless of making the playoffs or not, unless things are like completely horribly wrong. And I do believe that there's going to be some pressure put on to at least put in good showings against Green Bay. You know, there is if they would have went to the playoffs last year, see, that's the thing. Like, we've talked about this before, that if you had 10 wins going into week 18, you would have been resting a lot of people against the Green Bay Packers. You wouldn't have needed to win that game. So you wouldn't have been starting everybody. And you kind of could have, you know, shrugged off a loss to the Packers in that instance. But you got to go out there and you got to play well against Packers, which, by the way, I do want to point this out, that week 1, the game in Brazil is going to be filled. This should have been the cold open. Looking back on this now, the cold open should have been the Green Bay Packers are playing the Eagles in Brazil in week 1. Thank God That means we're not playing Green Bay to open the season. Straight from Brazil, Bears fan since 2006. Unfortunately, today was confirmed the Packers will play the Eagles over here. Any thoughts? Are you coming, Adam? If so, I'll show you a great time here. I would love, Felipe, I would love to. I would love to. One of my best friends growing up, his wife's Brazilian, and they speak Portuguese, and they're amazing. And we're talking about going. He's like, hey, are you going? Because I think they're going to go down for that game. And I'm like, I wish I could. But it's interesting. Like, I understand for you. I would have loved it to have been the Bears in Brazil. But we're going to England. So I can't imagine. We couldn't have gotten two because we're going to play at Tottenham Stadium. So we wouldn't have gotten two international games. So I think it was kind of a fait accompli that we weren't going to go down there. But the good news is, and this is the one takeaway, the good news is that we cannot play the Packers in week one. So that we talked about that. We talked about that with either Matt or Cynthia last week. It's like, or maybe I was on another show, but I was talking about that. Like, I thought for sure that they were going to throw Caleb Williams to the Packers week one just to tweak everybody, to tweak the Bears fans, because it would be such an NFL thing to do. You know, the NFL would just throw the Bears at Green Bay to start the season and see what happens. Or no, even worse, they would have us play at home against the Packers. So we could lose that game with our rookie quarterback, piss off all the fans. I do believe, looking at our schedule, and I don't know who the good teams are that we're playing one of them in week one, probably at home, probably a stacked deck. Are we really playing outside of the Chiefs, right? Are we even playing the Chiefs this year? There's really no team that I fear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a team that you look at for this season where you're like, you know what? If we play this team, if we're playing this team, I don't have that hesitation with anybody now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't look at any team as a Bears fan and be like, oh, well, this is an automatic loss. Now, when I do my predictions, I'm not going to pick us to go 17-0, but I don't look at any team where I'm like, yeah, we'll probably lose that one. I just don't feel that way anymore. And I know last season when we played Kansas City, that was one, even me, the homer of homers, was like, we're not winning in Kansas City. And we weren't even close. I think, you know what? That is one of the things too, that we probably don't shine a light on enough. We all talk about the Packers game being the one, but I think that Kansas City game was really an illustration of how far away we were. Like, God, we are not close to this team. And we had the moments we, you know, nearly swept the Lions, should have beaten the Cleveland Browns. And then the Packers game just kind of cements like, no, we're not quite there. But at the same time, it's funny. So there's nobody that I fear, but I do love the fact that, so I'm sorry, Felipe, that you're not going to be able to see the Bears in Brazil. You're going to have to see the dreaded Packers, but it means that we don't see the Packers in week one. And we won't see the Packers in week two because, you know, even with the 2 days extra rest, they are not going to have they don't want to give the Green Bay, we'll probably face the Packers after their bye week. So we probably won't face the Packers for the first 2 weeks of the season. So that's good news. So we'll get Caleb Williams a couple of games under his belt before I get to see him. What about it? Another question there, Sammy. We will go back to 6-7 primetime games. Oh, yeah. Will we go back to 6-7 primetime games this season with Caleb Williams? Bruja 7. Excuse me. I would say so. We'll get a lot of... I don't think it's going to be a situation where we're playing all the noon games anymore either. At least that part of it. I'll miss that from 2 years ago. For all of us who are going down to Rip Beer Company and going down there and watching the games and having a good time, it was fun because we always had the early game. We always had the run of the joint. Now, by the time that we open up, the season, the Rip Beer Company down here on PCH and Warner and Huntington Beach, their pizza shop should be open. So yeah, we'll still be able to take over a back room and have a lot of fun watching the Bears games. I mean, will we even be able to get seats? Who knows? It's going to be a riot. It's going to be so much fun. I will say 6 primetime games seems about right, you know, because you got to remember Caleb Williams is going to be very popular in the LA market. He's going to be one of the marquee players in the league. Like, people are going to want to see him. He's a very, I'm like, just take a look at it. Anytime his name is trending on Twitter, people want to talk about Caleb Williams. So I would agree that we see a lot of Bears games in prime time this season. All right, Sammy, I think we have time for one more. Then I got to get out to, 6U soccer practice. Boys coming along. David, if the Bears acquire extra picks for trading down, can you see the Bears packaging the pick in the second round for next year to move back to the first round and have three first round picks all together? Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know what? Again, like they're going to be, we're to the point of trying to acquire as many studs as possible. I think there's a bigger possibility that we make a move to try to get into the top five. So we have two top five picks this year, as opposed to three first round picks. I understand what you're talking about. And there's been some teams that have built efficiently during that, doing that very similar thing. It always felt like the Saints used to always have multiple picks in the first round. Wasn't it the year that they didn't draft Lamar Jackson? They had multiple picks in the first round and did very well for themselves. So I don't know. It really depends on the one thing, though, that I will say about Ryan Poles is that he really trusts himself in the second round. Because you think of some of the players that he's drafted in the second round, you know, he's rebuilt our secondary with, you know, Kyler Gordon was a second round pick. Jaquan Brisker was a second round pick. Tyreek Stevenson was a second round pick. He's done a great job of really identifying players in the second round who can really come in and make an immediate impact for this team. So I believe that he trusts himself. You know, I wonder too if he's kind of kicking himself for last year not moving down. I mean, Darnell Wright's a good player and I'm happy with that pick, but I think could we have gotten him later? Who knows? But I do think that it's more likely that we go two top five picks as opposed to three first round picks. But again, all these situations are very advantageous for us. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing wrong with anything. And there's no bad ideas. Is the number one thing. And I think that as we go over the next couple of days and we're getting closer to the draft, I want to remind everybody as the draft is approaching, we will be in Chicago draft night, game room, Chicago draft party. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tyler Scott is going to be joining us. We'll get his immediate thoughts on drafting Caleb Williams. We'll be sticking around to see what else the Bears do in that first round, but it's going to be a lot of fun just talking Bears. And it's an opportunity. I don't get out to Chicago a lot. So come hang out with me. You know, I know that there's other people having other parties and you should go check it out. And I'm going to go meet up with a lot of those guys after the draft. But how often do I get to town? You know what I'm saying? Like those guys are there all the time. You can see them at Blackhawk games, at Cubs games, at White Sox games. I very rarely make it public appearances in Chicago. So you should come out to see me. You can see everybody. And other people are having draft parties on Friday night. Go to their draft party on Friday night. Thursday, show up with me. This is a one and done situation. I got to get back. And you're like, why aren't you staying for Friday? There could be a lot of fireworks. I got soccer. I gotta get ready for soccer games on Saturday. Coach two teams. Got my 10U girls, my 6U boys. So do come out if you can. It would be fun to see you. And thanks to everybody who joined us here tonight. I'm glad we got in more questions than usual. So that was a lot of fun. Great ideas. Just want to remind everybody, as we get closer to the draft period, there's no bad ideas. So if we're going to be discussing this, you know, moving forward, like realize that if somebody says that they want to take an edge or they want to take a tackle or they want to take all those ideas are great. There's not a bad idea. And it's up to Ryan Poles to go out there and execute it. And I can't wait to see it happen. So until next time, our schedule is going to be a little bit more fluid over the next couple of days. We'll have another draft profile with Draft Vogel coming out. Please be sure to check that out. By the way, make sure you've liked and subscribed to the YouTube channel. We're very close to 13,000 followers. Let's get over that hump. We've been at 12.9 for a couple of days now. I want to get to 13,000. So employ your friends. Email it to somebody, tell a buddy, like, hey, man, come check this out. Get us up to 13,000 as this site continues to build and grow. I want to thank you all for being here. So until next time, bear down, and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.